Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. We bring it to you every week, and every week I am joined by the one, the only, it's cool, producer Joel.
Hey Mark, how are you?
Good, thanks. Really good.
Cool.
You've been let back into the wild, Joel.
Yes.
You're COVID free. You've been so busy, you've let your beard grow.
I grew it when I was isolating.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, right. Okay.
Why not?
I like it. It's
and,
quite thick.
And here it is.
It's quite a thick, thick beard now.
Yeah, I grow quite a good beard. And I just like sometimes to remind people of that. Because I'm normally clean shaven, but occasionally I like to just sort of remind people that it's there.
Yeah.
If ever I need it, it's there.
Joel, what have you been doing?
Aside from working on the beard,
like, have you done that at home, or did you go out and work on the beard?
I've been doing it in different locations. I even invested in some beard oil.
Did you?
To really try and just to really see what I can get out of this beard, you know.
What does beard oil do?
I don't really know. I don't know. It might just be a complete con.
Does it soften it up a bit?
I think it softens the beard. I think it makes it smell nice. I think.
Oh, it makes it smell nice. So it's basically aftershave for your beard.
But I'm a guy who likes to moisturise my face, and
yeah,
as everyone should. And
what's your moisturiser of choice?
I think Kiehl's that I use at the moment.
And what?
What?
Never heard of it.
Okay.
Nivea for men, mate.
And a problem that you come against with the beard is, how do you moisturise beyond the beard? How do you make sure that the chin, the cheeks, the upper neck is getting moisturised? And I think that's what the beard oil offers.
Yeah, okay. We're not even sponsored. We should be.
We should be. That was
like
a great pitch, wasn't it?
I know. Maybe we should ring round. Do you know any beard oil people?
Just
marketing companies.
I don't, but I will do some digging.
Thank you, lovely. Yeah, but let's do that. Because I've got a bit of a beard at the moment. I've done this joke before. I wasn't sure about it, but it's growing on me.
Good.
There you go.
Very nice.
I've probably done that joke 5 times in this podcast,
and I've liked it every time.
Of course you have.
It gets better each time.
It's a classic Simmons joke. Yeah. So lovely. But you haven't really told us anything exciting that's happened, Joel. Like, did you make the most of your week away from the house?
I think I did. I've been out for dinner with some friends. I got absolutely hammered with some other friends on Saturday.
Did you?
I've been having a great
absolutely
time.
Absolutely hammered.
Yeah, pretty hammered.
Where did you go?
So I had some friends come round. And we watched some football, and then we went to the pub to watch more football.
Oi, oi.
And then we came back to mine to watch more football.
Yeah.
And it was one of those nights where, by the end, we were really just sort of putting our hands to the back of the alcohol cabinet and just sort of drinking, like, just the weird stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's... Well, good for you. What was that? It wasn't an England game, because that was yesterday.
No, it wasn't. It was just a, you know...
Quickly summarise England yesterday, your thoughts?
Fine, you know. I think people just need to realise that...
Were they trying to win?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. And I think what people need to realise is that, unfortunately, this is the sort of football that wins you tournaments. You know, you've got to be quite conservative and quite pragmatic, and it's not very exciting. But that's how France won the World Cup. That's how Portugal won the Euros in 2016. You just have to grind it out. And what do you want? Do you want crazy exciting football where you score four goals but you go out in the quarterfinals, or do you want to, you know,
win
exactly? What's more important to you?
Win.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's tough, isn't
win!
it?
Win. Oh, good stuff. I was really annoyed I couldn't watch it. I had a gig. Oh. And it was sold out.
What's it like? Oh.
So, interestingly, it went well. Lovely, nice. But the football jokes didn't land that I did. I got two football jokes. And the people there obviously aren't the ones that like football.
No, well, are they just in complete denial of football? That they just don't want it mentioned? That's why they've gone out. Yeah. Fair enough.
I've just been for a run, Joel.
Oh, nice.
And
how was it?
It was good. But I'm not proud of this, Joel. I scared an old lady.
Oh,
like really scared her.
Oh, no.
I needed some water. I went to their house, right? No, I was running and I could see this happening a mile off. But what is the protocol? Do you go from miles off, I'm coming through?
Yeah. Right?
Which is weird. Mm-hmm. But I was approaching this old lady from behind. She had her dogs. And ahead, there was a man with a chainsaw. I'd also like to point out that I scared her more than a man with a chainsaw. But he was, so the noise of that, she couldn't hear me approaching.
Okay.
And I just didn't know what to do. And she was weaving in and out of the road with her dogs. Like, I knew she didn't know I was there. And mm-hmm. I thought, I'll just stomp a bit louder as I'm sort of approaching, so hopefully she'll hear it. And I was a fair bit away, and she turned and she went, ah! Like that, like proper screamed. And I felt awful, felt really bad. But I just said, sorry. I sort of said, I pointed at the chainsaw, and then I tried to explain all that was going through my head. But she was, she was on the floor. So,
someone will have found her by
clutching
now.
Clutching her heart. she was fine.
What I was going to say is, since the old COVID, I am really struggling to do exercise and... I get so tired so quickly.
Yes, it's hot as well though, Joel. That's another factor.
Yeah, true, that's true.
That's another factor. Just keep at it, Joel, then you'll be all right.
Thanks, man.
I'll tell you what, this will cheer us up. We've got a podcast to listen to.
Oh, thank God.
Who is it, Joel?
It's the one and only Josh Berry.
It's Josh Berry! Yes!
You know his Unnatural Acts show from the end of the 80s?
Is this the one where he's wearing that multicoloured shirt?
Yeah, I always
remember that because I had that very similar shirt. Like,
oh, really?
Late 80s, early 90s when I was a kid, yeah.
Well, they've come back into fashion now. That would probably be
to
get that out of the cupboard, I think, yeah.
Yeah, squeeze back into it. Sure, it'll still fit. It'll be fine.
But he was just like, it was just amazing. And I can't think of, you know, I know you've got like Lee Evans and stuff, but like people around our kind of age, I can't think of that many people who are doing stuff that's that physical, you know.
You're right. It isn't. And do you think... I mean, I haven't really given it any thought, but do you think that's because it's so well executed by Lee Evans no one can match that? If they try it, it just won't come off as well, maybe. I don't know. It's a different sort of comedy as well these days.
But like, even if you look at like, I don't know, like Sacha Baron Cohen's quite good at being physical. And there are bits in Borat where he's like... I think there's a bit where he goes on a treadmill and it's hilarious and the guy's trying to get him to walk and he's like doing this really funny, ridiculous walk. And I don't know, I think, who's that guy in France who a lot of people go to train? He's the guy who has that clown.
That's probably not what it is. Gautier or Garth.
And it's like the Gautier method or something. And, I don't know. Yeah, you just don't see it as much. I guess maybe Lee Evans is so brilliant. Maybe it's something you get better at as you grow as a performer. Maybe maybe it's like a confidence thing. Like when you start out, you're a bit like,
I think not doing that is safe, isn't it? It's like you're not putting yourself out there so much. So when you start, like personally, like I would hide behind the jokes. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't give much of myself. I give, like, I am myself on stage now, So I don't go, I don't dial it up at all, but it's exactly as I am. And whereas before it was definitely lower.
Yes. That's I think that's quite common, isn't it? I think most people, I look at like early stuff and I just sort of see this real shrinking violet of a person being like, oh, I've noticed these things about people. Do you want to hear them? And it's all a bit cringe, isn't it? To look back at your really earliest stuff, I find.
Oh, 100%. I was talking to someone, who was that on the podcast? And they were saying how they were trying to try and do like more physical stuff.
Yeah.
And they did this absolutely mad thing on stage and then they vowed never to do it again. They're so embarrassed by what they did. And even one of their friends watching phoned them afterwards and said, yeah, I mean, don't watch the video of it. And yeah, don't do that again. You do some physical stuff. Cause I always have a little sort of watch of people before I do the podcast. And you actually did a McIntyre impression, the actual act out bit of him. That's very physical.
That's true. And the weird thing about doing Zoom gigs as well is I sort of realized how much I was relying on my body to get laughs. Like, because especially when you're doing impressions, you know, it's like...
Some mannerisms.
Yeah, 100%. And also, you know, with McIntyre, he's so physical anyway that you can really push that. And I found that was, getting laughs without me actually having to say anything, which I quite enjoy. But it's very difficult with Zoom to do that as much. But it's something I'd love to lean into a bit more. I've seen... one of my favorite jokes from James Acaster is, I think it's in his Netflix special, and he's like jumping across the stage and he's like stamping on the stage. And he's doing his act out and he's like, oh, I love you so much. And then he's going to the other person, oh, I love you too. Well, you're amazing. I love you. Stamp, stamp, stamp. And then he's like, shall we have sex or shall we finish making these crop circles first? And I just thought that was so amazing. I think I probably slightly fudged his punchline. I don't think there was any sex reference. I just got sex on the brain. But I loved that. I thought it was such a good joke with a physical...
So the act out is funny anyway, but with the punchline, it just gives you that extra oomph. Yeah, I do a couple of similar sort of things, but not... I do some things where I do a weird thing during the show, and at the end there's a payoff. But that's really powerful, I find.
I love it. And I think that's the cool thing about comedy is that, you know, I feel like if... Because that's kind of like a joke that works... like even if you don't even speak English, well maybe not the Acaster one, but some of the... I like the idea that you can do it to anyone and it's still funny.
I think that's
all about that.
So you would, if you wanted to do more physical stuff, would you not have to pick people to do that are more animated?
I think you're right. I think but the thing is as well,
because your Acaster impression is very animated. Even just subtly, it's animated in his mannerisms.
But I think sort of certainly before lockdown, when a lot of this, I was doing a lot more of this physical stuff, the thing I found was it was just about kind of heightening. So when I used to do Andy Murray, it would be, because even though he's really downbeat, like to get that across, I would like fall over when I was doing... I'd be like, oh, I'm so tired, and then just fall over and sort of...
Brilliant.
So I think even if they are a bit more downbeat, you can kind of push it. I think the hardest thing is people in the middle, and it's the subtle people. So like I wrote this down before I came on about things that haven't worked. And Louis Theroux has always been such a tricky one for me because he is so subtle. And there's not really a lot that you... If you're going to parody him, it has to be done so delicately, because the things to take the piss out of him with him are so... they're so subtle.
I feel like you could with him... I mean, maybe you can't, but like I can imagine you putting him in a situation talking about how calm he is and using that as a comedy, and then you act out the other characters around him that are big.
That's nice.
And then cut back to him just, and then it, like, whatever happens, he's just got this real presence. Because I can't imagine how
you know what I was doing. I thought it was a bit it's hard. You know what I started to find, right? Probably the last proper live gig I did before lockdown in Leicester Square in March of 2020. And I actually found the impressions were really good as bridges between like little bits that I was going to do. So, you know, making it look like you just happened upon doing an impression. So I've been like, oh, weird. For some reason, I've sort of become Louis Theroux. Is this sort of, were you expecting that? I don't know if I was expecting that. I think this is all a bit, this is a bit odd for you. I don't know if this is sort of maybe outstayed its welcome a bit.
Great. I mean, but, obviously it's good. That's, yeah.
But it was helpful, I think, because I was like, okay, I can just sort of, because this is something I really thought to talk about McIntyre again, but you know, in his Showman special on Netflix, the thing I loved about it was the variety. And you know, I guess some stuff, it can sort of get a bit samey over the course of an hour, and I definitely have done that. And I thought he had so many different bits that made it fun. And I think if you can do impressions between bits, that sort of gives a bit of a different thing for the audience to enjoy, which I liked. So I tried to do a bit about being like, I was like, and this isn't actually, I don't even think this, but I was like, oh, I don't like Meghan Markle. Because I got the sense that from all of my social media, I was like, well, everyone loves Meghan Markle, so it would be interesting to say something about why I don't like her. But unfortunately, I think my audience, I can understand why my audience were like, oh, he's just, it's feeding into a back narrative of really right-wing racist rhetoric about Meghan. That wasn't even the reason I said I didn't like her. I said I didn't like her because she's an actor, and I don't like actors. But which isn't even true, by the way. But I just sort of thought it would be interesting. But I don't think people don't necessarily get.
I think
you don't think.
And I think if that would work, if everybody loved her,
right?
Do you know what I mean? If absolutely everybody loved her and she couldn't do anything wrong. And then you went opposite. That makes it funnier.
Yes, yes, yeah.
When you say it. But the fact that there are people and there's that, well, basically, that, I mean, that's it's probably since you did that. Obviously, that's elevated huge.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. I definitely do it now. And to be honest, I only did it once and was like, this wasn't good. So I dropped it.
Because who is someone that is just beloved that can't do any wrong? I'm sure I have seen people do stuff like that, and then just by just calling that person an asshole, it's like if you went on and did Tom Hanks and called him an asshole.
Yeah.
It's that kind of that makes it funnier.
I guess you want to pick someone who is sort of,
because everybody needs to know you're taking the piss, which they should do anyway, because you're a bloody comedian.
I know. I think that is a frustration though, because like none of the stuff that I say on stage, I actually really think, I just think, oh, well, there's evidence for this and it would be funny to sort of do something about it. But I remember Joe Lycett had something hilarious on Amanda Holden. It's just a really throwaway line, but he's like, he says something about Amanda Holden. He's like, I'm sure she's fine, but I just think she's a nubbin. I just thought that was hilarious. But you're right, it's difficult. But also, like, I don't, the kind of person that I am, I don't like shitting on people. I don't think it's that fun. It's just, unfortunately, if you do impressions, it's kind of sort of need to in a way.
Yeah, you've got to find angles.
Yeah. Yeah. But I try and do it sort of respectfully and nicely. And
if you shit on someone that is so successful and such, it's different than shitting on someone that's in the gutter. Do you know what I mean?
True. I think I guess that's punching up, isn't it? I mean, like, I used to do bits on Gordon Ramsay because I love Gordon Ramsay, but you know, he's like, back in the early Kitchen Nightmares days, he was so like abusive to everyone. And I just thought there was something so funny about that, how he, because it was literally like, you couldn't do that in any other workplace. He's so horrible.
I mean, especially now, yeah.
Yeah, 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 exactly. I mean, you definitely couldn't do Kitchen Nightmares now for that reason.
Wow, I wonder if he's actually had to think to himself, right, we need to have a different angle with some of these TV shows now.
It's a really weird...
But then it's another one. So for example, it's almost the same thing. If Jimmy Carr does offensive jokes now, it's okay because he's been established as that's what he does.
Yeah, right.
Frankie Boyle, that's what he does. So if Gordon Ramsay does it now, it probably wouldn't cause a fuss.
Yeah, that's true. It's his brand, isn't it? Whereas I think there's an implication that if you're younger, you ought to sort of know better or something. Yeah, you're right. Oh, that's just Jimmy. But, you know, I listened to Jimmy, his Desert Island disc, and it's so like, I would challenge anyone who's ever been offended by one of his jokes to listen to that and be like, oh, what he's saying isn't legitimate, because it's so clear what his philosophy of comedy is, right?
Oh, he talks about that, does he, on that show?
It's really,
oh, great.
It's like, it's such a good insight into how he's just, you know, he's just playing around with stuff. He's just, he's at worst, he's being a bit naughty, I think.
Yeah.
Rather than actively sort of trying to cause upset. But then some jokes do that, you know. I think jokes ought to be criticized sometimes. I don't think all jokes are legit, you know. Mm. Like the Frankie Boyle, Katie Price, Harvey ones. Mm. I know that's a really popular one to take issue with, but I just sort of thought.
It's a good example.
I listened to that and I thought, because I think his defense of it is, he's like, well, you know, I was satirizing or taking the piss out of Katie Price's media campaign to use Harvey, right? But then it's like, but fine, but you could do a joke where Katie Price is the butt of the joke, not Harvey, which is what all those jokes were to me. But I know that's quite a divisive thing to say. I know lots of comics will stand by those jokes, and that's completely their prerogative, you know. But
yeah, I mean it's not really for me. Mm. That sort of stuff, you know.
But it,
there's,
you know,
too far, because even Anthony Jeselnik, when I watch him, he's a masterful joke writer, and he's just it's just so good what he does. But there are some bits he goes and like, well, I'm not offended, like I don't care what you're saying, but it doesn't make me laugh because it's too far. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm not gonna sit and stew about what he said. I'm just gonna be like, well, that didn't make me laugh because I feel too, that what he said, the imagery makes it too uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, but I think that's precisely the right way to look at it. And I don't like, you know, all the stuff I just said about Frankie Boyle, like it's totally his right to go and say that, in the same way that it's my right to say, well, I don't think that was right. But you've got to look at it as a whole, don't you? You've got to be like, well, you come to this show, you're watching this show, you might not like all of it, but that's fine. Just leave it. You don't need to hold on to it. You know, that's just sort of it. But yeah, I've heard... what's his name? The Australian Jim Jefferies talk about that, and he said, you know, I didn't agree with all Dave Chappelle's jokes, but I just didn't think about the ones I didn't agree with. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Who cares? It's a thing someone said. It's not. It hasn't done anything to the world. Like,
yeah, it's throwaway. It's in the moment. It's like, here's this thing. Hopefully, I'll make you laugh. If it doesn't, okay, fine. That's where the line is. But I think we do need to be a bit more liberal in that way, because. Yeah, I don't like the hyperbole around it, but it would kill comedy for everything to be scrutinized completely all the way through, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, does that affect the topics then? So, because you said, you know, dark humor is not really your stuff, but would you say that like you'd still joke about any topic, but not necessarily in a dark way? Or are there topics that you just wouldn't?
I don't think there are many topics. So if it's a topic, like if it's something like abortion... I don't know if you could do a joke without it making people uncomfortable topic-wise.
I guess, do you know what I mean? Unless it was a joke about an abortion that wasn't to do with aborting a child, right? It was like a different meaning of abortion. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then I guess it's not the same.
But then it's not about abortion, is it? Yeah.
No, essentially. Because I had one where the, and it just never worked, where the punchline was to do with she's not having it. As in, when you have an argument, yeah, you go, she's right, not right, having it. And then not. But the problem actually with that joke was that could mean she's not having the baby or she's not having the abortion. So that's where the issue with that, because it wasn't clear which I was pointing at. And so which was really annoying. But also, whenever I tried it, it made people uncomfortable talking about it because on top of it being a joke, everyone's going, well, what's his opinion? Like, it's like an opinion thing. Right. It's like, whereas my opinion is people should do what they want to do. But that's my opinion. Sure. But that doesn't come across in a joke like that. So, because the joke would either have been, I argued with my girlfriend about her having, I think she should have an abortion, but, or not, I can't say have. I can't remember what the wording was, but she's not having it.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So I have to have an opinion on one of those. So it's always going to divide people.
Well, that's true. And also, I think an audience want a bit of reassurance, don't they, that you don't think the bad thing, right?
In, yeah.
So I think one of the bad things with my small bit about Meghan that I got rid of is that I probably do look quite right wing, despite really not being. I'm definitely a liberal left wing person. But the problem is, I think an audience wants a bit of reassurance that, like, oh, you don't actually think that, do you?
Yeah. It's not obvious by looking at you.
Well, no, of course not. No, definitely not.
So, yeah, that's probably the thing, isn't it?
That's something I started saying. I said, you know, it's fine. I don't really like the look of me either as I go on to stage, because I think, I look like an awful, you know, one of those awful like management consultants that you get stuck talking to at a party. So I have to try. I know that I'm really like, I have to win people over extra hard.
So, because when I gigged with you last, I think, it might not have been. We did the Chortle Fast Fringe and you came on as James Acaster.
Yeah.
So that was like, you weren't even given a chance to think about who's this bloke. You were just straight away into it. Is that, how does that work for you? Do you do that often, or is that just for that one?
Yeah, it's mixed. I've been doing it a lot on Zoom. It works quite well on Zoom, actually, because the best thing is you get the person to announce and then you've got James Acaster obviously written, but your camera's off.
So do you get people disappointed that you're not him?
Yeah, so that's the joke I do. I do like a minute maybe as James Acaster. And the advantage is because he's such a sort of, his shtick is so weird, isn't it? So he'd be like, oh yeah, a lot of people that have the cameras on. Not me, man. I like to have mine off. And then I reveal myself at the end as a surprise. Fair play. and then I come on and I say, the funny thing here is that half of you are disappointed because you were hoping it would be James Acaster and it's not. And the other half of you are disappointed because you don't even know who James Acaster is. So the first 2 minutes was a complete waste of time. But no, that goes quite well for that reason, because I think that joke kind of saves the first minute 30 if you don't know who. Mm. But fringe, man. It was definitely a mixed. When I gig in London and it's to people in their 20s and 30s and stuff, they all get it because they all know who he is. But you know, for a lot of people, I would do that bit and it would just go down like
regular clubs. I could imagine that because just people in general, celebrities in general, aren't known by everyone as much these days, are they? Because there's so much to watch. Mm. You can't all be watching the same shows all the time.
Absolutely that. So I mean, that gives you quite a narrow scope, because I mean, you can do like, I don't know, but then also like the tricky thing with doing impressions, you don't want to do people that everyone else is doing, which is why I sort of probably have veered more into doing characters and impressions types of people on stage, because I just think it's a bit more accessible. Because otherwise you're like, you know, I've definitely had it where you do impressions, you're like, oh, I've really tried with this one and I hope it's really detailed and everything. And people are just sort of craning because they kind of know who the person is, but they're not totally. And then just like, you know, by the end of the routine, maybe they've worked it out, but then there's no laughter. So
Yeah. That's the thing. You could be saying the funniest things, but the whole time they're trying to work out who it is. Yeah.
But also like,
it's so different to like impressionists back when we were kids, because they would just do the main, I don't know, a Coronation Street character, because everyone watches Coronation Street and all that sort of thing.
Well, that was why Spitting Image worked so well then, I think, because it was like, you're right, the media was like really like narrow compared to what it is now, and everyone watched similar stuff. So the impressions would hit more, whereas, I mean, to be fair, actually, with the pandemic probably did mean that more recognisable. So Matt Hancock, if you did a good impression of him, people would know Boris Johnson.
Oh, yeah, they wouldn't have before as much.
No, you're exactly. Right. So the press conferences were helpful because we all clubbed together. Even Dominic Cummings, actually, people would probably have a reasonable idea. But
so have you picked up more impressions during the pandemic? Because even things, even not political, like even things like Tiger King or any of those things that got popular, everyone was watching. I definitely did,
you know, I think most people did a sort of Joe Exotic. I'm trying to remember what he
Carol Baskin fucking bitch.
That sort of thing. But the problem was with that is it was such a flash in the pan that it sort of came and went so fast that it kind of wasn't really, you couldn't really monetize it or do anything with it. But this is the sort of the slight problem with doing impressions in that more traditional sense, I think, as well, is that there's no surprise. So like all of your jokes, right, are great because it's always like a linguistic surprise at the end, right? And that's inherently funny. Whereas if I'm like, hey, I'm going to do an impression of this person now, there's nothing particularly surprising, and therefore it can become a bit repetitive, I think. It isn't always the it's more of like an exhibition than it is a comedy performance sometimes. Yeah. Impressions, and that's something I.
It's almost like so if someone does a really good impression, you always want to go give a round of applause.
Yeah, right, you know right, I mean? Right, exactly. And that's kind of why
it's a skill to get laughs out of that.
Yeah, and I think it's funnier to be able to caricature or do a silly voice or a type of voice or whatever. You know, I see it a lot with the American. I always love. I don't know if you have a real sort of stand-up genre love. One of mine is like when American comics do bits about British people. I find that so funny because they do the worst accent. There's this guy called Christopher DeStefano. It's really funny.
It's either really posh or it's like really Cockney, isn't it?
Yeah, it's this weird like sort of Russell Brand meets someone really posh, but it's like, oh, hello, mate. I'm just going up and down.
Like, talk show hosts in America always do this when they're talking to British people.
But I just find that hilarious. But I think so that's a good example though of a voice. It's an obviously it's a ridiculous caricature and it's not even that accurate, but that voice is a million times funnier than someone doing, let's say, a dead-on Donald Trump, right?
Like
because there's something more comic about it, and I think that's what I prefer doing, like the sort of silly.
You've heightened it, haven't you? You've scaled it up a bit.
Yeah. And it's observational, but in a way that's just a bit funnier for whatever reason, I think. But yeah.
So have you got any bits down that you've had trouble getting to work?
Yeah. So what do we get through? I've got I've said impressions in general, and we've kind of just
oh, really?
Just for that.
That's exactly. Yeah.
Because I think Frankie Ball's a great example of this. He's so brilliant at using voices, and he's got a really, really excellent like vocal facility. But he will use them as part of jokes or to act out jokes. But the jokes are the fundamental. And I think if you make the voices the fundamental, you stop being a comic and more of an actor or like a voice actor, right? So I think that's something that I've kind of I think is really important moving forward. What are other bits that haven't worked so well? The Louis Theroux bit, the Jonathan Ross Russell Brand bit.
Jonathan Ross?
So Jonathan Ross is like Dara O'Brien. I think it's funnier just making him really over the top. So like, hello ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Jonathan Ross here, the Jonathan Ross Show. It's Wow the Joe, it's Gordon Webbs, everybody. And that is I think much funnier. Although Alistair McGowan did a brilliant Jonathan Ross years ago, and he did like all the different Jonathan Ross voices. So there's, you know, there's that very much sort of the stand-up one at the beginning, and then the much more sort of quiet, confidential voice, which is very, very sort of enunciated, like that. And then the much louder one, you know. So there's bits to him, but
so he's made an observation within, the impression,
which is good. It definitely is good. I mean, it was brilliant the way that he did it. I think the way that I did it, I was just sort of reenacting the phone call, the Andrew Sachs phone call with him and Russell Brand, and then I just said some really sort of boring stuff about why it wasn't very good,
which everybody agrees with, I suppose.
But, but it was it was very sort of right on, but dull, but not inherently like obvious. So not particularly funny or interesting to say on stage. And I think
so. Would you have dropped that because of the response wasn't great, or just because you thought it's just the topic wise, it's not what you want to be doing?
I think it was a bit of both. I mean, I think it was so topically not topical. It was like, it's mad. It was like 2000.
It'd be quite funny if you did a whole section of that was like the vibe of a section of all loads of topical stuff that isn't topical anymore.
That's true. That's a really nice idea. Yeah, definitely.
So you're taking the piss out of yourself and those people that do hold on to bits too much.
I like that as an idea.
These London riots.
Yeah,
that sort of.
But like all the older, like an old impressionist trying to just desperately still. You all remember Frank Spencer? Frank Spencer didn't put my glasses on. Oh, Bessie, you know.
I have to think of a way to make Frank Spencer current. So like, God, these new TV channels, that Dave channel's great, isn't it? Very modern. Oh, I was watching a show on there the other day. Oh, Betty.
I'd love to do that. I think that would be a really fun 10 minutes, an over-the-hill impressionist.
Yeah, it's a good character. It gives you an excuse to do all the old classics. Because it's funny that they are classics. Like, everyone did the same. It's so funny that Frank Spencer is the most, isn't he? That seems to be the go-to to me.
Who else did they used to do? Like Michael Caine, obviously. I'm just sort of going through.
Michael Caine.
Obviously, Coogan, that was his thing, wasn't it? That was his stuff. Alan Bennett, they all used to do.
Well, it's basically what Coogan and Rob Brydon do on the trip, isn't it?
Yeah.
When they're competing, they're doing all those old school kind of.
Yeah. But
I like how they talk about the difference in Michael Caine over the years. That's that's really fun to see the difference in voice.
I just think Coogan is so amazing. And this time, have you seen?
Dude.
He just time and time again is just so excellent with Partridge.
I was talking to someone the other day. There's no duds, are there?
No.
Like the worst one is probably. Knowing Me, Knowing You now.
Yeah.
And that's just because the character wasn't as developed as it is
100%.
Now.
But I think that was why writing that autobiography that he did was so good. Mm. It just gave you that incredibly rich backstory. But there's like a joke every 10 seconds, isn't there?
With
now. And it's just amazing. But I love him in The Trip because like he's so talented that you like him despite the fact that he's like playing a very unlikable version of himself. It's such a skill, but
he's just so loved, isn't he? He's just at that level that
I mean, the guy is he's just so phenomenal. Like, I think he is like far and away the best character comic. I mean, Partridge and Brent, right? Surely those are the two. I get, you know, some of Sacha
Baron. Partridge has to be top of those two because of the longevity and everything.
Yeah, I just think that the standard for those two is just the amazing thing is like how so many men are both of those. You know, so many men have Alan Partridge moments. So many men are. Like, I definitely find myself constantly being like David Brent in trying not to get myself into holes. Being like, well, you know, obviously we should have more people involved from BAME backgrounds. Not to, you know, and just constantly getting involved. And that is it's brilliant. It's brilliant for that reason.
Because The Office for me is the best sitcom.
Mm.
But character wise, Partridge just has to be because it's. And you're right, Sacha Baron Cohen is probably the other one, isn't he? Of being able to, you know.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone. I mean.
But his stuff's very different because it's a different vibe, I think, isn't it?
But that's the thing. Like, if you're looking at a pure character, I think, it has to be Partridge because he's so complex and wonderfully textured, whereas Baron Cohen's are quite vulgar characters, but he's using them to elicit, like, bigotry from people in the establishment. But if you did, like, Ali G now, Ali G just as Ali G, you know, that would not go down well at all. Whereas, like, I think at the time you forgive him it because he's using it to, like, get politicians to say, you know, to wind up politicians. Yeah.
And also, it was just a different time.
Yeah,
of what people liked, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you can't sort of retrospectively go back, you know,
And also, we'd never seen anything like it back then either. Like, that was quite a new idea of, like, real-life people getting kind of...
It's amazing, isn't it? I think it's so fun with that stuff as well because like that's why I love character comedy so much and doing character.
Would you go big as a character, like as in full dress and go out and do stuff in character? Have you done that sort of thing yet?
Yeah, I haven't done the sort of interviewing of people, but I definitely would. I just more because of lockdown more than anything else because I definitely got characters who it would be good for, like my. Crystal Raver character, I think getting him to interview people at a festival would be quite funny. So I definitely love to do that. It's just the problem with Rafe, the Rafe character I do, the conservative advisor one, is that he's quite famous because of the sort of the success of the videos online. So I maybe wouldn't be able to get away with it with politicians, you know, because they might, some of them might recognize him, which is a problem.
Right.
It's like with Sacha Baron Cohen, that was the joy of Borat 1, right? No one knew who Borat was. And for me, the reason Borat 2 didn't work quite as well was because he was too famous for it to work.
Well, I think that's why they made the female character such a big part of it, because I think, because like you say, everyone knows him.
Yeah, so you can't lampoon people in the way that you want to. But I don't know. I'm such a big fan of Sacha Baron Cohen. So I love. Did you watch This Is America? No, Who Is America? Was it Who Is America?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I watched clips of it. I didn't see the whole show.
Mm. But he had four characters in there, and they were so good. He did this amazing caricature of a liberal, and it was like such a wonderful, like, cringy watch for anyone who considers themselves to be a liberal, and that like desperate overcorrection of, you know, being. And I just thought it was so good. You know, when you see yourself in a character, you're like, oh god, I'm so embarrassing that that is me on a real level. I just thought that was amazing.
I think for me, the thing I admire the most about him is the ability to stay straight faced, because for me, I find things funny and I can't hide it.
So
if I know I have just done a hilarious joke with this politician, I wouldn't be able to keep it in. That's such an amazing, I don't know what that is. Is that something he just can do? Has he trained himself to be able to do that?
I think, as a much, much, much lesser character comedian, my intuitive response to that would be like, well, you sort of try and totally occupy that person. You like shut off all of your own sense of humor. And you're like, what would this person find funny?
Right.
Like, if I'm doing stuff as Rafe, like there are jokes that he would find funny that I think are crass and rubbish, but I'd laugh a lot. And actually sometimes you can store up the laugh that for something you find funny, you repress it. And then you let it out as the character on something they would find funny. And you've kind of done what you need to do.
Okay.
But I've heard he's just absolutely fearless. Like he's amazing.
Oh, his interview. There's a round table.
Oh yeah.
Where he's with other comics, I think. Mm. And what I loved about that is how, because the other comics, I think, are arguably higher kind of A-lister. Mm. Well, he's an A-lister, but he's just really super famous. Was Eddie Murphy and people like that?
Jim Carrey's on it as well, isn't he?
Yeah, and I just loved how people like Jim Carrey were in awe of Sacha Baron Cohen. And I just loved seeing that fearlessness is what they look up to in him. And these are these top of top comics comic actors.
It really is amazing, his physicality is so good as well. But I'm so in awe of his whole career because, like, when he was 27, I think he did the 11 o'clock show. Mm. He deliberately said, I don't want to be in the press for this, because he wanted to remain anonymous in order to like later do characters that would rely on his anonymity. And I just thought that was so like mature and clever. And he's an amazing
guy. He had a plan.
Yeah. And also, like, I mean, I wasn't the hugest fan of Borat 2 just because I like what, you know, his anonymous stuff. But there's bits in that where he's like improvising in Hebrew. Like he's so talented. I think he's just amazing. Yeah, really cool.
Right, we're going to finish up in a second. What did Rafe say to you, your friend Rafe?
Has he actually said anything about it? The named the character Rafe after Rafe. Well, not after Rafe, but there's a Rafe I know who is obviously called Rafe. And he's sort of posh. And I think he was like, I'm not so sure about the name of this guy, which is unfortunate. It's unfortunate when the problem is you are going to end up basing certain characters you do on people you know. And it's really uncomfortable because you hope that they don't see elements of themselves in the character.
Yeah.
It generates an awkward conversation.
Have you ever done a character based on someone and then them come to see you?
I think I've. Yeah, well, I mean, Rafe is based on lots of people. He's based on, like, He's based on loads of people that I knew in university. He's probably, you know, and like with Partridge, is like Coogan's like, I am Partridge, Partridge is me. There's a bit of me in there, or certainly a bit of younger me in there. And it, so it's sort of like you nitpick little bits from different people. You're like, oh, that'll be funny, that'll be funny. So I think certainly people I know have seen bits of Rafe in Rafe. But hopefully there's enough of other people in order to make them sort of think, oh, okay, maybe it's not totally me. But
that's brilliant. Cool, man. Right, let's call that a day. Thanks so much.
Fabulous. Thanks. Okay.
Josh Berry! Hashtag awooga to Josh Berry. There we go. Lovely stuff. Any feedback, as always, at Jokes with Mark across all social media. Would you like to hear a little bit of feedback from last week's show, Joel?
Absolutely.
So if anyone who'd like, have I just said give us feedback? I can't remember what I just said.
Yeah,
let us know at Jokes with Mark. Ian Bowden, message. He said, start listening at lunch. I agree with Mark. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you which joke it was. It's one of Eric Rushton's jokes, which was, I'm not going to get it exactly right, but something along the lines of, people don't say speculate anymore, do they? I could try and think of a reason, but just be guesswork. Right, so that was the joke.
Yeah.
Ian made a very nice point. He said, pedantically, I say you should use speculation rather than speculate, as the former is the actual word equivalent of guesswork. So people don't use the word speculation anymore.
Mm.
Very good. And then I was thinking, maybe if you wanted to say speculate, you could just say guess.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Because is guess the equivalent of speculate,
yeah.
Joe?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, lovely bit of feedback there. Oh,
yeah, I would say people do say speculate.
So you think that's the problem with the joke is that people do say it, so
yeah,
it's
I think
weird setup.
In sport, people use it a lot. And also, I think in banking and stuff, I think it's a word that people use.
I don't know if that would... Do you think that would affect the joke working? Because people, as soon as he says, people don't use the word speculate anymore, and then do you think people go in, yes, they do?
Well, I do think if someone in a set of a joke said no one ever says speculate anymore, I would be thinking, well, yeah, they do. I would just sort of think, why have you said that?
Good feedback there, Joe. Good feedback. Mm. So that's feedback from you, Joe.
Feedback.
I like it.
Eat that right up. There you go.
There we go. Ah, lovely stuff. So any feedback let us know. I said that twice already, so I'm not going to say that again. Great stuff. If you want some more joke chat from Josh Berry, head over to patreon.com/jokeswithmark, where you can get that chat. You can get 12 episodes now of 361 jokes, 5 at a time, and loads of other great stuff at patreon.com/jokeswithmark. And also, now things are starting to go back to normal, I thought I'd do a little reminder that my show in London, the Leicester Square Theatre, 23rd of October, is starting to tick over very nicely with ticket sales. So if you'd like to come and see me, head over to my social media and all the links are in the bio, or go to the Leicester Square Theatre website to get your tickets. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. I think people should check out the Patreon for all the good Patreon stuff. Patreon.com/jokeswithmark. Crack on.
Great. Thanks, Joel. I thought I just said that. Didn't I just say that?
Yeah, you did, but I like to reinforce it because it's sort of the... I've got no real vested interest in your ticket sales for Leicester Square Theatre, but when it comes to the Patreon, that's what I'm really keen on.
Ah, lovely stuff. All right, anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Aruga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.